Good morning. Man, that was awesome. I got chills during that. Give that band a hand. They are rocking it. It is so good to be here. This morning, it's been great to be at Advent all weekend, seeing faces, doing ministry with friends, just catching up with people I haven't seen in so long. Thank you, Greg, for bringing me here for the weekend as a speaker, and bringing Covenant United Methodist into the fold to worship and serve our community. Thanks, Cass, for sharing your pulpit with a Methodist. But for those of you who don't know me, I'm Jeff Roberts. I left Advent in 2019 to take on a full-time student ministry position at Covenant United Methodist Church, not too far from here. Actually, the Covenant and Advent community started about the same time in the same place, and my Advent connection is still strong. So we have some charter members that go to this church of Covenant that are now members here, and vice versa. So to be here on stage is really an honor, because this is such a special place for me and my family. I was supposed to preach last July, and we decided to have a baby instead. And so it's good to finally actually write the sermon and actually preach it here. So eventually, when we left here, we were working young adults here for a little bit. And then when we transitioned out to go into student ministry, it has been a blessing. I'm thankful for where I'm at. I love Covenant United Methodist Church, and I also love Advent very much. We are coming off a wonderful weekend of worship service community, and we have served Shelby County, we have worshiped with an awesome band, we have had breakout sessions. Everything that Greg and Kaz have said has been truly amazing. My favorite part was the fourth meal. We had pizza rolls Friday night at 11 o'clock, and then Chick-fil-A nuggets last night. So I will be on the road to recovery today, but it was worth it. It was so worth it. One of the best parts for me this weekend was doing ministry with two good friends in ministry with me. We all have been formed here at Advent, and then we all went our separate ways, except Greg. He's still here. But me and Carson and Greg, Carson Kruger and Greg, all got to do ministry together for the first time since going into full-time ministry together, and it was truly a blessing to serve all of our students. Y'all been in a series about the dust of the rabbi, where you look at the life of Jesus and being a disciple who follows him so closely that the dust of his sandals would cover you. This is the kind of disciples we want to be. This is exactly what we discussed over the weekend. Long before this was supposed to happen, my D-Now was supposed to happen at Covenant in January. And then we had the great flood of 2022, as we called it, when our pipes froze and busted and flooded our church. And so when I came to Greg, I was already planning on being here. When I came to Greg and asked if we could join, we prayed about it, we talked about it, and it has definitely been worth it. But long before all this, this was the theme of our weekend. That was not put together by God. Our theme was be real. You'll see on our shirts, we all have these what look like text bubbles, because Be Real is a social media app. It is a very popular social media app right now, and I wish it would go off during my sermon, but I know it won't. What it is, everybody that has the app gets a notification. Everybody gets it at the same time, but it is a different time every day. Sometimes it's like 11 o'clock at night. My Be Real ain't posting until the next morning. But you all get the same. You take out your phone, your camera works, takes what's in front of you, and then you use just your front-facing camera, and it's all about what you're doing in that moment, what your friends are doing in that moment. The company slogan for Be Real is your friends for real. There's no drama. There's no trolls camping out in the comment section. There's no stranger random political ads or random grocery ads or whatever showing up on your feed. It's just your friends in the moment they're in. So this weekend, we talked about being real authentic followers of Jesus, being yourself for real. So we start our weekend with a few questions. Oh, first, let me show you an example of some B-reels. These are some of my B-reels over the course. The first one is me at Costco, because you got to be in the moment, okay? And that's me. That's an awkward, accurate picture of me. My girls love it when the B-reel notification goes off, because they're like, B-reel, and then they pose. And so that was them. This went off at a Georgia tailgate when we played Tennessee last year, in case any of y'all need reminding. And then I'm going to get my dig in, no matter what. And then this is me at seminary back in January. And so that's how it works. You take the picture, then you look at yourself, and you can make it as awkward as you want. There's some good ones. People actually stage them. It's a little ridiculous. But we started our weekend with a few questions. A few questions, and it was all about how we were going to be different when we left here today. So I want all of us to ponder that. We all came in today with different feelings, different things happened on the way. Maybe you and your spouse or your kids got annoyed with each other on the way to church. It happens. But we all come, how are we going to leave different now, today, than when we came here? So we asked, who are you as a Christian? Do your friends know you follow Jesus? Does your church know you follow Jesus? Is your relationship with Jesus real, or is it disguised to look like something better than it really is? And what would it look like to give someone a snapshot of your relationship with Jesus in 2 minutes? Can you do it? Then we looked at questions about how to be different, what do we need to do, and how we need to get there. So we started out with Paul, his letter to the Ephesians. And I used the Common English Bible with the students this weekend, and so I'm going to continue to use that right now. Verse 17 of chapter 4, he writes, "So I'm telling you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, you shouldn't live your life like the Gentiles anymore. They base their lives on pointless thinking, and they are in the dark in their reasoning. They are disconnected from God's life because of their ignorance and their closed hearts. They are people who lack all sense of right and wrong, and who have turned themselves over to doing whatever feels good and to practicing every sort of corruption along with greed. But you didn't learn that sort of thing from Christ. Since you really listened to him and you were taught how the truth is in Jesus, change the former way of life that was part of the person you once were, corrupted by deceitful desires. Instead, renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit and clothe yourself with the new person created according to God's image in justice and in true holiness." Our goal was to begin to see, identify, and remove those things in our lives that prevent us from being our new self in Jesus. But how do we get from point A to point B? What happens in the in-between of derobing, taking off our old selves, and re-robing with a wardrobe of grace from Jesus Christ? And so from there, we jump to the ultimate example of authenticity, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who else? Luke 9:23, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." These are hard words. Some of you have probably heard them a lot. You've heard them in sermons. You've heard them in Sunday school. You've heard them Bible studies, books. We can hear it all we want. We can read it all we want. But what do we do out there? What do we do in Shelby County? What do we do at school and work, at home? So where we're at in this passage in Luke is we are at the end, conclusion of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, and he's about to make the turn to head to Jerusalem. And he is about to head into next week, which is Palm Sunday, where he is worshiped and welcomed by the people who are going to turn on him in a few days. In this section of Luke, the reader or listener begins to see who Jesus is. We are learning to understand who Jesus is. And then Peter finally tells us who he is in verse 20 when he says, "You are the Messiah." And then in classic Jesus fashion, he says, "Yeah, but don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." And then he tells them, he predicts his death to his disciples. And immediately following that, Jesus fashion again, he calls upon his followers to participate in the same sacrificial, self-giving life. Thank goodness he wasn't talking to us. Whew. Unfortunately, he is. Actually, in verse 23, it says, "He said to them all." Now, in leading up to this, where he has predicted his death and he has revealed himself to the disciples, it is just him and the 12. And now it says, and he turns and he says to them all. Now, some scholars have put this as in, this is a separate section or separate day or separate time where there's more disciples following them. So 12 plus others. But the word "all" is a universal invitation. It's a universal invitation, not just for the 12, not just for those following him, not just for the early church, but for all of us, for you, for me, for every single one of us. And the only person, if you are reading through Luke or listening or you, whatever you may be doing, is able to grasp what Jesus is saying by denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus daily is you, because you know what happens at the end. You know what the cross means. He has not told his disciples that he is going to be crucified. He says he's going to suffer. They know what a cross is, so when he says, "Take up your cross and follow him," they know what the cross is. They see it in the world they live in because it is a common form of execution by the Romans. So they know what that means, but what are they supposed to do with that? Take up your cross. It's intense. So how would they have heard this verse? So denying yourself was not just an individual denial, like, "Okay, Jesus, yep, I'm just gonna follow you, I'm gonna forget everything I do." No, it involves oneself to set aside your relationships, everything you know, your friends, family, and your life that has shaped your identity. This means constructing a whole new identity in a new community, not centered around you, not centered around your relationships, but centered around God. Then he tells us to take up our cross. Take up one's cross in the context is pretty straightforward to them. Carrying your cross from sentencing to your crucifixion site. Daily. Every day. I don't know how many times I said every single day this weekend, but I'm sure somebody counted and will tell you. I said it a lot because that's important. It's not a one-night, one-time thing. It's not a thing that happens overnight. It is a daily decision that we make every day to carry our cross from where we are sentenced to die to our old selves to crucifixion. And by making this daily, it shifts the emphasis of death and martyrdom to sacrificial living. And finally, he says, "Follow me." The Greek word here is what, students? Ako, we just did this. Ako Lutheo. We just did this. Means for follow. Ako Lutheo is the Greek word used here, and it means conforming wholly, with a W, conforming wholly to his example in living, cleaving steadfastly to one. Cleaving. How many of y'all use that word on a daily basis? Cleaving means to remain closely attached and to be completely devoted. By cleaving, we are conforming to the one that we follow so close that we are catching the dust off of his sandals. So this is what Jesus is saying. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, his relationships, and everything that has created their identity, and live a sacrificial life every day as if you have been sentenced to death by crucifixion from the world that opposes his kingdom, and to be completely devoted to me so you can conform to me. Conform to me. It's easy. We can do that, right? We do it every day, right? It's not hard. Can we become such authentic followers of Jesus Christ that we cleave steadfastly and conform wholly to him? And you can use that with a W or you can use that with an H. Holy. Can we conform wholly to Jesus? We spent a lot of time with the word authenticity this weekend. Another word I said a ton. Authenticity is essentially not being fake, being genuine. Straight up. It also means conforming, there's that word again, to an original so as to produce essential features. Interestingly enough, to follow is also to conform. Following requires authenticity. So we looked at three things on our journey to authenticity, authentic followers of Jesus Christ, and that was being vulnerable, embracing tension, and recovering with God's story. So we looked at denying ourselves and being vulnerable. We don't like to be vulnerable. Vulnerable is scary. We gotta let down our walls. We gotta let people in. We gotta get hurt. We have to prepare ourselves for attack. If a city loses its walls, they are vulnerable to attack. We have to become a narrator and share our story. In the company of those who share our faith, reveal your beginnings in the areas where we're broken and incomplete. Attempt to express how you are not fully developed in your convictions and the way you live your life. We all require deliverance. We all require rejuvenation, and we all require redemption, and we all get redemption. It's crucial that we make a conscious effort to communicate this every day to the people around us. Next, Jesus tells you to carry a cross. This involves tension, embracing tension. When I think of tension, there's a lot of different kinds of tension we talked about. We talked about physical tension, spiritual tension, emotional tension. I think the most tension we shared in common was emotional and social tension. But what about our spiritual tension? Once you've opened up and shown your vulnerability regarding your imperfections, we seek the path that leads to the cross, death, and burial. And this is not a fun place to be, is it? We need to spend a considerable amount of time in this place, and that's where we're going to reflect. It's where we're going to contemplate. It's where we're going to grow. We are here to die to our old selves. Everything that shapes us and what our identity was, we strip that robe off. That is gone. We put it to death. And this is going to be a journey. It's not easy to let go of things that shape you. It's not. It's who we are. But don't avoid it or shy away because it's awkward or it's painful or it's uncomfortable. Death isn't comfortable. The process of change is going to be painful, and at the same time, God is going to be working right alongside with us in this process, in this transformation. And the beauty of it is there's hope on the other side of death. It's resurrection. Just as we go through death and burial of our old self, you will also go through a resurrection and renewal of your new self. We remove that wardrobe of who we thought we were, and we come out clothed in a wardrobe of grace in the name of Jesus. And we're not doing this by ourselves either, are we? We're surrounded in this room by people going through journeys, people who are broken, people who are struggling. And we're all in this process of growth and change every single day and on the pursuit of holiness with an H. But we all do not respond equally. We all respond differently. Everybody, even when you're not trying to be authentic or genuine, you're going to encounter others that are not. When you're trying to be, they're not going to be. Or when they're going to be, you have the choice to respond in a way that Jesus calls you to respond in authenticity. And we can't let others discourage us from taking the steps that we need on our personal journey in this death, in this burial, to remove our old selves. Because it's your journey. We can't wait for everybody else to catch up. God didn't wait on us to show us grace. He gave us grace. He showed us grace without requiring us to receive it. But what did we do? What did we do? We receive it freely, undeservedly. Grace and authenticity work together. Authenticity also is the same. When we give it to somebody, they're not going to respond the way we want them to half the time. And that's painful. That is painful. So we gotta, when that happens, we stay with them in tension. We stay with them in this place of brokenness and tension and provide encouragement, because what's coming out of this death is resurrection. Resurrection of a new self. To what extent are we willing to surrender ourselves to Jesus and his church? And how are we going to react when others do, even though we don't agree with them, even though we don't like what they do, who they hang out with? What are we going to do when others come to Jesus? How are we going to react? Lastly, we follow Jesus and we recover with his story. His story is our story. Jesus should be the determining factor in defining our true self. That's what we've been in this tomb for, in this dark place for so long, trying to figure out what defines who I am. It's Jesus. It's not external influences. It's not our Snapchat or it's not our Facebook. It's not our job. It's Jesus. And after we've been vulnerable, we've broken our walls down, after we've stayed at the cross in this really uncomfortable place, it's important to receive and internalize God's word through scripture, through prayer, through community. The word can serve as a protective covering, much like a new garment that hides one's vulnerability and shame, a wardrobe of grace. Our personal stories are inseparable from Jesus. This knowledge can serve it as a source of comfort and reassurance that our story and Jesus' story are together. The story you tell yourself about you and your identity is what's going to shape your life. It's what you're going to believe, and it's what you're going to live. What story are you telling yourself? Are you telling yourself Jesus' story of death, burial, redemption, resurrection? What are you telling yourself? Because that's what's going to come out. What is true about you because of Jesus Christ? What is true about the person next to you because of Jesus Christ? What is true about Advent Church, Covenant United Methodist Church, because of Jesus Christ? This is a newly formed way of thinking for some of us. It is now shaped by the teachings of Jesus. That has been our goal for the weekend, is to leave here with a new reality shaped by Jesus' teaching. It is essential, though, that we view ourselves and others through this gospel lens of Jesus Christ and the shared reality of treating others and loving others with the compassion, understanding, and respect. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of authenticity. He provides the blueprint. He defines what it truly means to be an individual, to be loved within a community that is centered around God, and to offer genuine hope in the world. So as we leave today, go back to school tomorrow, go back to work tomorrow, as our volunteers recover and air out their homes from this weekend, we need to strive to release ourselves more and more each day. In vulnerability, if we're in that dark place, try to find who we are looking for in Jesus. One way to do this, I shared this with the first service. We had a breakout session yesterday called Fitness and Faith, and the owner of a local gym came and spoke to us about it. And he talks about decisions. So you go to the gym at 5 a.m. every day, you have a lot of decisions to make between 4 and 5. You have to turn your alarm snoozed or off or get up. That's three decisions. Three you have to choose from right there. Not a good way to start. After that, you have to choose to brush your teeth, whatever else you do in the morning, change your clothes, put on shoes, go out in the freezing cold in certain times of year, start your car, and drive 20 minutes to the gym. That's a lot to process, to say, man, that's going to be hard and uncomfortable. I don't want to go. So what he does is he invested in a mattress that uses an app that vibrates when his alarm goes off. And he keeps his phone in a separate room, and the mattress does not stop until he turns it off on his phone. Guess what's under his phone? His clothes. Guess what's under his clothes? His toothbrush. It's all one thing after the other, and it creates this flow, and it's less decisions that they have to think, you have to think about. As we go, as we follow Christ, what decisions are we making from the time we get up to the time we go back to sleep? What decisions are getting in the way of our decision to follow Jesus daily? What kind of habits can we stack to make it more authentic? We need Jesus to take the lead in our lives and become the hero of our story, as he transforms our brokenness, our beauty, and transforms it into something that we can't even imagine, something we never thought possible. Pray with me. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your work in this church, this weekend with students, with leaders, with volunteers, with our music. God, it is hard to accept this call of sentencing to death and sitting in this dark, uncomfortable place for so long. God, but we have hope on the other side, and that's resurrection, and that is you. You are the light, and we love you. We thank you. We ask you to bless us as we go out today in worship. In your name we pray. Amen.